And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about, why do men hate going to church? Are you in on this conversation yet? Well, get on it, doggone it. Call our brand new phone number, 855-454-5905. We'd like to take a look at our second favorite book, that's Facebook. If we're not friends yet, please make sure you join us. Go to facebook.com and look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. Hit the like button and there you are. You have access to us. So Marcos, what are people saying on the book?
Well, if you haven't already, go ahead and find us on Facebook. Type Marriage Beyond the Vows and like us and get in on the conversation. And as always, we have many of you writing in, asking questions or your comments there, especially if you're not able to get through or throughout the week, you want to stay connected. That is the place to do it. So we're talking about why men hate going to church. And so a few days ago, just I said, let me post that question without saying anything. We have a special guest with us, David Morrow, who actually wrote a book on the topic. But before I even mentioned that we were going to talk about this, I just posted the question, and right away, Malcolm Cummins was the first one to answer. He says, they haven't found the right church yet. Well, when they're in a church that utilizes and makes them feel needed and important, then they'll go and love going. Eric Jackson says, some men feel that there is nothing there for them and that church is full of women and tailored for them. That is the furthest thing from the truth. Belinda Williams says, my husband loves God, and every time the doors of the church open, he is there and makes every effort to be there ahead of scheduled start time. Valerie says, oh my goodness, what a topic. Probably because they are not treated well at home and don't want to go to a place where they'll be treated like second-class citizens. Interesting. They are told to be the head of the household, but come in second to the pastor, what we were just talking about right before the break. Mm-hmm. All right. So, David, I know you're probably able to check in on Facebook as well. Are you there, David?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, again, there are so many of these, I would say, responses and comments on Facebook. Anything that stands out to you that you're saying, listen, we definitely got to address this, or is this mainly what you usually hear in general?
You know, it's very common, particularly in African-American churches. What that one caller said is the veneration of the pastor. That's just got to stop. We don't see that as much in Protestant or in non-ethnic churches. I think you don't see them putting the pastor on the pedestal as much.
Okay,
that's a real barrier to men. You know, men they see how the pastor's venerated and stuff, and the high position he's given, and it's a cause of resentment. So that's definitely one comment I would agree with. And you know, the other thing is this idea that men just need to come into the church and take their place in the church. You know, it's very difficult for men to take a place in a church where they feel like the pastor is actually the spiritual leader in the home.
Mm.
You know, the pastor is feeding my wife, and you know, what do I need to do?
Sure.
Well, we men delegate things. For example, my wife homeschooled our children, so I just let her take care of that. I really wasn't super involved every day in the children's lessons and stuff because I knew my wife was doing that. I was involved in work. I was involved in writing. I was involved in ministry and stuff like that. But because my wife was taking care of it. So if a man feels like the pastor is taking care of the flock, he's taking care of the spiritual needs of his wife, well, just let him do that. He's a specialist. He's been to school. He knows the Bible. I'm just going to let him. He delegates.
So it's easy for the man to take a back seat.
Yeah, because the pastor's so good at it. He knows the holy words. He looks good up on the altar. He knows all that stuff. I'm just going to let him take care of that, and I'm going to take care of what I need to do, which is work in two jobs. And, you know, I've got a lot of responsibilities, and that's how men think. We tend to delegate things.
Okay.
So the churches that are successful in engaging men give them meaningful roles within the church. They don't just the pastor doesn't just do everything. Like I was talking about, Pastor Fred Luter, the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, all through his ministry, he was careful to give men important roles in the church, not to take it all for himself.
Absolutely. So, now, let me mention something here, David, because we have so many comments, we obviously can't read them all. So we encourage everyone, if you're interested or you want to go ahead and chime in on the conversation, go ahead and go to our Facebook page. But Esther says that because some people say that church is too long. Sophia says that maybe a lot of them didn't grow up going to church or in a home where they really worship God. And then Cynthia posted a really interesting question. Cynthia Reed Raymond says, I would love to know the answer to that question about why men hate going to church. And then Sandra right after said, I'm with Cynthia. What is the answer? So I would say the real quickly before our break, David, why is church so long, or is it because men are not religious? I mean, you know what, in general, like these are so many things that you do tackle in your book. I mean, you tackle this.
Yeah, well, the service length is a huge issue for men because, and it's not just because it's long, it's because it goes on and on and on and you never know when it's going to end.
Okay. It's not because of football?
Well, I think that men will give you an hour, they'll give you an hour and a half, they'll give you 2 hours. But it's just got to end when it ends. You know what I'm saying? It just can't go. Once in a while, when the spirit is really moving, a man will accept if you go into overtime.
Sure, but if he knows that he's got to give up Sunday mornings and no telling how long it's going to be.
If your MO is, well, sometimes we're 2 hours, sometimes we're 3 hours, sometimes we're 3.5 hours, men are like, you know, they're looking at their watch after the 12th testimony, after the pastor's clicked past 90 minutes in his sermon and made the same point seven times.
Mercy.
I mean, is this true? Does this happen?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it happen very often.
All the time. So you got to be honest with men. You know, say it once, say it well, and then get down to business. And I think that's reasonable for men and women. We live in a society with many options today. It's not 1850 anymore. People have things to do. There are other options. And, you know, as a church, we've got to be better communicators, more succinct, get to the point, and then let God do his work.
Absolutely. What about the question about, just in general, we had mentioned this right in the beginning, hate sounds like a very strong word. Mm-hmm. Some people were even prefer to say, okay, maybe they really just dislike church instead of hate. Because, you know, men can easily feel defensive. And I think we have some comments there where men are kind of defending it and say, no, we love Jesus. We love God. I know you're not saying that. But for anyone just tuning in and they're finding out we're talking about why men hate going to church, it's just very, very important for you to say for what we're talking about and what David wrote about in his book or multiple books.
Yeah.
It's not that men don't love God or don't love Jesus. It's the actual church setting that for some reason is not a place where men feel comfortable.
It's to get up on Sunday morning, give up your weekend, put on a tie, stand there for, sit there for 3 hours, and be around a group that is dominated by emotion, that's dominated by females, I mean, there's not a lot of guys who are going to say, sign me up for that.
So what's the answer for women? Now, I know you have something to say for the preachers, and I think, every preacher should read your book, Why Men Hate Going to Church. Myself, as a preacher, it just helps. It's like we have to be very deliberate, and I think you even made one really good advice that I've taken, and I've heard before, but I think you made it very clear. You said with men, it's good to let them know what you're going to say, to actually say it, and then remind them what you said. And then they leave with a clear, very clear direction.
So I
appreciate that very, very much, David. But then what about the women? We have many women who, they want their husbands, they want their sons to attend church with them. What's the advice, the number one advice you would give to them, especially if it's a church where a lot of these things are already happening, where the preacher just goes on and on, or, it just seems to be a very kind of feminine setting. What can a woman do to encourage her man or the men in her life to want to come to church?
Yeah, and as I said, I've written an entire book called How Women Help Men Find God. If you want to, if any women want to get a hold of that, that's a step-by-step guide on how to help your men find God. But just to sum that up in the most succinct way possible, let me just tell you a little story. I said to a woman one time, and I said, do you want your husband to go to church with you? She goes, yes, I would do anything to get my husband to go to church with me. And I said, would you go to him and say, honey, you pick the church that we go to? And she looked at me like I had said, will you go lay down in front of a Mack truck? She goes, I couldn't leave my church. That's my church. Those are my friends. That's my preacher. I've been going there for 10 years. And I said, until you're willing to, you want your husband to be the spiritual leader? Absolutely. I said, until you're willing to let him lead you to a church of his choosing, he's never going to go to church. The problem is it's your church. It's your social network.
Mm-hmm.
She was not willing to give that up. So what I, my what I would say is, women, the attitude of your heart needs to be, if you want your husband to be the spiritual leader, you need to let him be the spiritual leader.
Okay.
Don't make him join you in what God's doing in your life. And that's a huge step for a lot of women because, you know, as I said, it's their social network, and they don't want to give that up.
Okay, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, David. Some great, great insight there.
Absolutely.
Your book, and I'm going to give you an opportunity before our show ends as well to share a little bit more about your website and what you're doing and the different books that you've written. But for all of those who are just tuning in, the book that we're talking about today is called Why Men Hate Going to Church by David Morrow, who's here with us in on our program. And where can they find this book? Can they just go to Amazon.com?
Yeah, or you can visit my website, churchformen.com. I've got a little online store there. I'll send you an autographed copy, and that helps my ministry.
Oh, okay, excellent, excellent.
All right, fantastic. And we want you to stay right there. We're going to take a brief pause, but we're going to return. We're going to return listening to more of your comments and even your questions. All you have to do to reach us is dial 855-454-5905. But again, stay right there. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to our final segment for today's program. And we're talking still about why do men hate going to church. We want to hear from you. And if you've been on the phone for a while, please be patient. We're going to get right to you. But if you're not on the phone yet, give us a call. 855-454-5905 is our brand new number. Marcos, I see we have another guest coming in, but we still have David on the line.
We do. We have, for those just tuning in right now, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm Marcos Mercado, and I'm here with Tiffany Bacon. And we also have a special guest, David Morrow, who has written several books on the topic of men and why they don't like going to church, specifically a book we're talking about today, Why Men Hate Going to Church. And we also have a call. I had a good friend of mine, Will Harris. Are you there? Good morning, Will. Okay. We were hoping that he would be in line two.
Oh, we lost him.
All right. For some reason, we lost him. Will, if for some reason you get an opportunity, try to call us back, or we'll see how we can work this out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So David, we right before the break, we were having the conversation in terms of just Islam and how it's such a rapid growing or the fastest growing religion in the world, specifically among men.
Yeah. You know, people say that men are just less religious than women, but it's not true, especially if you look at Islam. Islam has more men than women. And it's the fastest growing religion in America today among African Americans, especially men. And you were saying something in prison. What was that comment about?
Well, what I was saying that in prison, what I've noticed is that Islam is viewed as a very manly, very strong, you know, even like other prisoners kind of fear the Muslims in prison. However, you know, Christianity seems very weak among men, you know, especially in prison. And so there's just something about, I would say, that the maybe your manhood could be tested if you become a Christian and you seem like you're supposed to be very passive. But if you're a Muslim, you can be strong. You can be, you know, very masculine.
And dangerous. And you know, Christians aren't dangerous. We're, you know, we stand in the house and lift our hands and sing praise to God. And
kumbaya.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, we wear flashy suits and, you know, it just doesn't. We don't have the image among men that when you become a Christian, you give up your manhood. Whereas if you become a Muslim, you know, you could be a man. And I know that's not true, but I'm just saying that's the perception among men. Men are looking for a father figure, and I think that's the role the imam plays.
Yes.
You know, he stands up on the, you know, on the front, and you know, all the men are they're lined up like military soldiers, and he commands them, and they stand, and they kneel, and they, I mean, it's just a much more militaristic feel. It's done in less than an hour.
Wow.
You know, it doesn't go on and on. There's no deviation from the script. And men are comforted in that. And they feel the camaraderie of men.
Contrast and of course.
At the church where it's, you know, it can go on and on. It's a lot of women. There's a lot of emotion in the house. And, you know, the message we're sending to men is that Christianity is a women's religion and Islam is the man.
And now, just for the record, we're not encouraging people to become Muslims. We're just saying that there are some things that we can learn.
Even Orthodox Judaism, the religion that we come from, you know, the men and women were separated. You know, only males were rabbis. You know, they took great care to create a masculine feel in their worship services. And in today's church, we're going away from that, and that's largely as a result of marketing. You know, all the products are marketed toward women.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of the Christian books are written for women, and Christian radio, you know, family safe Christian radio. We play things that women like to play in the car.
Sure.
And so Christians absorb, both men and women absorb these messages over and over and over. You know, God is love and gentleness and meekness and stuff, and we begin to reflect that out through our faith. And we've lost the danger of Jesus, the Jesus who cleared the temple, and we just don't have that in our faith anymore. We're straining that out. We're a religion completely of gentleness and meekness and sensitivity, and that's not the sort of religion that attracts young men.
Absolutely, I know. For me, growing up, I grew up in the inner city, and I would like really frown when I saw religious men. You know, it would be a hot Sunday, you know, summer. Mm-hmm. Day, and these men would be wearing their suits. They look kind of, you know, a little awkward in the neighborhood because, you know, people just didn't dress that way. And it was a Sunday. It wasn't a weekday where you're going to work. And so it was a discouragement to me. And for a long time, I didn't want to have anything to do with it until I actually found a group of young men including maybe just a few years older than I am, the guy that ended up mentoring me in my life, in my ministry, and it was because I saw a lot of men that I can relate to. But for a long time, I frowned on it. I didn't want to go to church because it just felt like it was just not an environment where I found inviting. It, like you said, it wasn't very masculine. It wasn't tough. It was kind of frail and flimsy.
Yeah, and Marcus, you just hit on the key. A man mentored you.
Mm-hmm.
When a younger man is led by an older man into the faith, then the faith sticks. And this is one of the huge challenges our churches face right now, because there are so many, I mean, let me just say it, there is a lot of news about sexual abuse in the church,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the Catholic Church, but, you know, we've also had controversies in Protestant churches, and where pastors are being accused of inappropriate behavior toward younger men. You know, if I were the devil, that is the relationship I would sever, because that's the essential relationship that through which faith passes from older man to younger man, and we're seeing a diabolical attack on that relationship right now, and it makes it difficult for men who want to mentor younger men, because now we're suspect. They're in your state of Pennsylvania. We've had this terrible abuse thing at Penn State. Jerry Sandusky. And that's casting a pall of suspicion over older men who want to be in the lives of younger men. And that's something that we need to be praying intently against, because without that mentoring relationship, our faith cannot pass forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always think about the Paul and Timothy relationship. And that's how I felt for years. Yes, as a young Timothy, I looked up to, you know, and I still do, to I call him my mentor for life, mm-hmm. Professor Patterson down at Morehouse College. And I'm so encouraged because, you know, he really instilled a lot of great values. But you're right. But my father, who wasn't religious, really not religious now, but just recently became a Christian after 20 something years that I've been a Christian, used to give me a hard time. And for a long time, he was very suspicious of Mike Patterson in my life, because he's like, what does this young man want with my son? Until actually Mike got married and I was a part of his wedding, and then, you know, my dad really embraced him, and to this day, I mean, my dad loves him to death.
Yeah,
but right, there is this suspicion.
And there's a huge down low problem in a lot of churches, if you know what I'm talking about. There's a pastor in North Carolina, Michael Stevens, who's written a book about this, about the down low situation.
Absolutely. We talk about that.
It's a huge issue. And, you know, we've just got to have some frank conversations, and we need to get to pastors and seminary and say, if you're looking at the church as a dating service, you need to understand what church is about.
Absolutely.
We need to get these guys out of the pastorate.
Okay. Well, great. We're going to go right back to our phone lines. I know we have many who have been patiently waiting or patiently trying to get through because our phone lines are lit. So we're very grateful. So we encourage you to keep trying. We still have a little bit of time on our show that we want to have some great conversation about why men hate going to church.
And if you want to call us, reach out to us via this brand new number, 855-454-5905. Let's go to line five and speak with Karen. Karen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing very well.
We're doing good.
First of all, we have to realize who's behind the scenes. Satan is behind the scenes. Satan knows that the woman is the weaker vessel. The earlier scriptures talked about a fortified city, a city with walls, equal protection. And a city with no covering is unprotected, and the enemy can come in and have his way. 1 Corinthians 11:2-3 is the proper order of headship.
Absolutely.
God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. So the instructions that were given to women was to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. And I see for past years that the church has become a feminine institution, where women are allowed to usurp their authority over the man.
Interesting. Interesting, Karen, that you mentioned this point, coming the fact that you're a woman and you're saying this. I mean, you're admitting to this. You're saying that the church gives women the authority to, I guess, to overstep boundaries that biblically they should not?
Well, I won't say overstep boundaries, because even if the man doesn't take his rightful place, then God will use a female to get his word out, or to take authority over certain things. But this is what men see. And when women are allowed to usurp their authority over men, we sometimes can sound like mother telling them what to do.
Sure.
So, you know, I had three sons, and they used to call me Mother Nature, because I used to teach them the facts of life.
Okay.
And I was married now for 19 years. And when my boys reached puberty, I realized that they were no longer hearing what I said, and that it was time for a man to impart natural and spiritual things that only a man can impart.
Sure.
So Satan's strategy is to break down the natural family dynamics. This is his strategy, meaning that if he can break down the natural dynamics, meaning a mother and a father both present in the home, where mothers are not usurping their authority over the boys, because these boys become a certain age, now it's time for a man to step in.
I agree.
And stop hearing the women.
And Karen, could you just hold for 1 second? I just want to give David an opportunity to comment on that, because we've had a whole conversation just about that, and the fact that Satan is trying to eliminate that role model, that kind of poor figure in a man's life, especially young men. David?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with anything she says. The fact is, what we're doing in this conversation and in my books is I'm trying to identify a strategy of the evil one to keep men away from church. And as we know, when men are out of the church atrophies. The body of Christ is not just women and children. It's men, women, children. It's everyone.
Sure.
And when somebody's missing from the game, when somebody's sitting on the bench, the team doesn't do as well. So that's the goal of my books and the goal of all my writing and website as well.
You know, my father used to always say this. Like I said, my father was never a religious man. I just became a Christian just about 2 years ago. And I used to attend church as a kid, you know, because I had to, with my mother, my brother, my sister. And when I became about 12 years old, when I turned 12, I started saying what my dad would say. He would say, tell the priest that I'm here, that he can come over. And my dad wouldn't go to church. And so I didn't want to go to church because I didn't see my own father going. And so you're right. There is a huge, significant correlation with men needing that father figure in their lives. Karen?
Yes.
You're there. So what ended up happening? Did you end up finding a role model? Was it your husband? Was it just a man from the church that kind of embraced your three sons?
Well, actually, my oldest son is 32 now, and he was 12 years old when I got married. And When he reached the age of about 14, his younger brothers were 12 and 8. And my husband stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped in and started giving them further instructions because I found that they were no longer listening to me. And they today, my middle son is getting married. My oldest son is married. His wife is pregnant with a child. And I just thank God that my husband gave them further instruction. Now, the kids and I, we were in a ministry for 11 and a half years. And my husband wasn't attending church, but he would come if the kids were praise dancing or playing mm-hmm. chimes. And I asked the other men in the church to reach out to him, and nobody did.
Wow.
None of the men really reached out to him when they had the men breakfast and when they had men fellowship. And until another minister came in, he reached out to my husband. And I promised God, I said, if my husband finds a church home, I will follow him. I didn't nag him. I didn't bother him about not going to church, saying, you know, you're the head of this household. I did none of that. What I did, I continued to pray, and I continued to take the children to church. And eventually, he came to church.
Amen. Amen. You know, Karen, I hope and pray that women out there are listening, because that just takes a huge level of humility. And I think David had mentioned that he had a conversation with a woman who wanted her husband to go to church, but was not willing to do whatever it takes and find the place where he would want to go and become the spiritual man that he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And you know, when women see their husbands in church, like when I saw my husband in church, man, I'm happy to be submissive. It takes nothing away from my ability and my skill. It takes nothing away from me. And it's a learning process. So now I'm being taught under a great leader, and then in church, and then under a great leader in my own household.
Absolutely.
How to be submissive.
Amen. And Karen, we thank you so much for sharing that with us, and continue to show that humility. I think you have a lot to share with other women around you as well. So thank you. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Have an awesome day. Bye-bye. Let's go to line four and speak with Thomas. Thomas, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, Thomas. So you have something you're saying about having the wrong priorities?
Yeah. I first of all, a quick story about me. I'm new in Philadelphia. I just moved here probably a couple of weeks ago. But I've had the pleasure and God has blessed me to travel all over the United States. And I literally have lived in probably about 30 of the 50-something states in the United States.
Okay.
And I've been to churches all over the world. And I could tell you that men don't go to church, but to be honest with you, I think we as men, you know, we just want to go to watch football and basketball. We don't have our priorities in order. And I think if the church want to get men in the church, like the brother was saying earlier, is we need to focus on the man and get that attitude turned around and get our priorities in order. And then we will stand up as men in the household, and then we can move forward and do God's work.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, David, what do you think about what Thomas is sharing right now in terms of how he's been to many churches? He's absolutely right, but we have to shift our focus.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, men are going to do the things that are meaningful to them. Men are going to organize around causes that resonate with them. And, you know, if the church is all about, you know, women's and children's ministry, men know that.
I'm sorry, David, is your radio up at all, like your internet? Because we're just getting a feedback there.
Oh, no, I'm just on the phone.
Oh, okay. All right, it might be. What about Thomas? Is that you? Can you make sure that your radio is completely off, please?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, no problem.
It's just, you know, we can't expect men to participate in an event that has nothing for them, or that denigrates them, runs them down, you know, calls them names, stuff like that. They're not going to be there very long. So I would agree with your caller that men don't go to church, and I think one of the main reasons is we're sending them the subtle message that church is for women and children. We don't mean to send them that message, but it's coming through loud and clear. And that's what I've devoted my ministry to and my books to, is to teach churches and ministries how to be more effective in communicating the true gospel, which is a gospel for men, for women, and for children.
Amen. I agree.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, we thank you, Thomas, for mm-hmm. talking. And, you know, honestly, you're persevered because you've been to a lot of churches and you're like, you haven't stopped. Many men would have given up. So I think that tenacious spirit is very, very important. I mean, and what is it that I would say, Thomas, the number one thing you have looked for when you've searched or you've visited different churches? What is it that you look for that you feel like, man, this is a place I want to be a part of, I want to worship in?
Well, I could tell you that my focus is not necessarily the music. My focus is, since I've used to travel a lot, is getting the word and stay grounded. I am not interested in the facade, what people got on the clothing and all that. I want to get the word, and because I travel so much and I'm around a lot of what I want to call non-Christian behaviors. So I want to be grounded and making sure that the word, like the Bible says, that the word that I've hid in my heart will stay in there. And I want to, you know, go through this journey with the word in my heart. So that has always been my focus. And as I travel and I look for a church to attend while I'm in another state, that is what I'm looking for.
Okay. All right. Well, absolutely. Thomas, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
Thank you. You guys be blessed.
Thank you. You too. You too. So you're tuned into Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, Your Inspiration Station. Still talking about why men hate going to church. We want to go over and speak with, is it Al? That's who's next? Okay, we have Al calling in online too. Al, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Pretty good, Al. So I heard you have a very interesting question for us.
Yes, I do. I've been listening, and I haven't listened to everything that was said. But I was wondering now, we're talking about men attending the church, and I was wondering, is it as prevalent among men who actually have been born again and have a personal relationship with Christ? Is the problem attending the church as prevalent with them as opposed to those who may not have done that?
Interesting question, David. Did you hear that?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how you would take a poll or study that.
I can barely hear you, Dave.
A lot of people claim to be born again, or you know, it's very hard to poll that scientifically or research that.
Okay, my only point is that, you know, I think if I agree that that we have you know, if you get the head, the body is going to fall. Like someone has already said, if you can destroy the head, the body is going to die.
Sure.
What have you? So that's why I think that the adversary kind of focus in so much toward the man, but I think we have to be purposeful as far as reaching men or whatever group we want to reach. And I think the church has failed as far as evangelism, reaching out to men specifically, because I think, you know, and not to be try to be so deep and spiritualize everything, but Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me.
Absolutely.
So I think what we have to do is, I think the church has failed. I believe us men who do have a personal relationship, we have failed to reach out, evangelize, knock on doors, go where the men gather, and try to reach these men. Because I think if we can, when I hear church, I'm saying, well, if church and knowing Jesus, having a personal relationship are two different things.
Yes.
And I don't think if you actually been born again, and have a relationship, I don't think it's as problematic getting men to join to attend church or what have you.
Yeah, I'm with David. I don't know how you can pull it, but one thing I can share from where I sit is, it is absolutely biblical for us to be connected with the body, right? So we need to go to church. We can't just say, okay, I'll stay home, I'll be my own lone ranger Christian, because that just is not biblical.
I agree.
And so in 1 Corinthians 12, if I may, it really talks about the body being a unit and playing different roles. I think one of the things that really interested me the most, perhaps, in terms of this book, is the fact that our churches are not very balanced, where there are some things that we do where we encourage certain members, which in this case, it'll say, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It seems to, okay, we focus so much on the things that are nurturing or are in so many ways feminine. And so we kind of neglect. And again, I don't think it's deliberate, but we neglect it. And I think, David, you've mentioned many times, numerous times in your book, where there are just some things that it's not even deliberate, but maybe the minister would seem, okay, the women are there. this is what they respond to. They appreciate this. So let me give them what they want, because that's their audience. That's the minister's audience. So what do you have to say about that, David?
Yeah, I think your points are right. And I think, you know, we've had a lot of callers call in, particularly the men today, who said what men ought to do. Mm-hmm. You know, men ought to be spiritual leaders. Men ought to step up. Men ought to go to church, even if they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with all those things. Men ought to do those things. But what we need to look at is, what are men actually doing? What's actually happening?
Yes.
I know there are born-again men, spirit-filled men, sitting in church every Sunday, and they think about, and the pastor says, you need to invite your friends to church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there thinking, okay, I know a guy at work who really needs Jesus. He needs to come to church. And they look around at what's happening in that room, and they make a judgment. They say, I'd love to invite him to church, but I know he would not like this.
Sure.
I know that this, he would not be able to relate to what's happening in this room. So that's our big hurdle right there. We have to give men confidence that when they invite their friends to church, their friends will connect with God and hear the gospel. And that's one of the reasons, again, I'll just go back to the megachurch. One of the reasons the megachurches have grown so large is because everything is done with such professionalism and such quality that men are not embarrassed or afraid to invite their friends.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I joined the church and became a Christian as a teenager, there was this one worker that we called them teen workers at the time. He was a great guy, but he had very bad hygiene. And so he would have like underarm stains, and nobody wanted to introduce their friends to this guy, but he was one of the leaders.
Yep.
Because it was embarrassing. And so I think that's another thing. We have so few men that we end up taking, I hate to say this, but we take who we have, and usually those are not the type of men that we feel confident introducing our friends to. Or maybe even like our previous caller shared how she had this one minister that didn't really engage her husband until another minister came along and really connected with him, and that's what drew him to the church, is that kind of male connection. We need to see other men there. You know, there's something about what you're saying, David, in terms of the mega churches. I think if men come in, I know for me, if I walk into a place and it's just a bunch of women, I'm going to feel like I don't belong. But if I walk into a place and there are a ton of men that I can relate to, then I feel like I belong here. I can hang out here.
Yeah, and the key is invitation. Most people became Christians or became a member of the church.
Sure.
When somebody came along and said, come to church with me, or they shared their faith or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People are not going to invite their friends to church if church is bad, if the music is bad, if the preaching is bad, if the church, if the service goes on 3.5 hours. You know, they're not going to do it. They're going to say, you know, I love my church, but I realize that my buddies would not really like what's going on, so I'm going to be a quiet Christian, quietly practice my faith, but I'm not going to invite people to my church.
Yeah, that's true.
And that conversation plays in the heads of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men every Sunday.
Absolutely. Now, Al, hopefully this answered your question. I know that you had a question. There was no
I'm
way to
not
really
sure
pull
it. Did,
yeah,
but,
I know. I was
I
thinking about that. I appreciate the conversation as well. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Take care. Let's go to our anonymous caller on line one. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I love Jesus.
Oh, amen.
You know that. There's one man here.
Hey, okay.
I'm a witness. I believe a lot of that has to do with the natural-minded man. You know, when he was talking earlier about the Islamic gods and stuff, you know, they don't believe in what we believe in. They don't believe in two or one. You know, they think Eve is made from the dirt. And they believe that they can marry the Christian women, but the Muslim women can't marry a Christian man. And, you know, I had a problem with that. I said, well, you know, why do y'all think like these ways, you know? I was trying to find some answers on Gospel Station here with the pastor.
Okay.
And Miss Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had one more question. Did you ever notice, Pastor Margo, how the woman had the better paying job in America than the man? So God made him go home all that old stay in the house. No, you stay in the house now.
Okay.
You stay in the house now. That man stay in the house. Mr. Moms. And there's a lot of that going on.
All right. Well, I don't think I quite get you, but all right. Well, we appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Have a great day. We have another anonymous caller on line five. And good morning. You're live on the air, caller. Hi, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You're live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. What's your comment? Oh, I'm sorry. We lost that caller.
I don't know if we lost him or he got a little shy. I'm not sure.
Sure. So if you can, call back.
All right. Now, David.
Yeah.
You had, and I don't remember exactly where it was in the book, but you had kind of listed some of the things that, if you would, like the temperature in the church where it's kind of set to safe. It's kind of set to, you know, where as opposed to men. I don't know. I was going to share with you.
I can expound on that a little bit.
That'd be great.
In fact, in a recent blog entry on my Church for Men site, I talked about the number one entertainment for men these days is superhero movies.
Okay.
We love to see, you know, what are the big blockbusters? Batman and the Avengers and, you know, men of every class and race and culture and everything. They love, worldwide, they love that story.
The hero.
It's the story of a heroic man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the story of the gospel. We have a heroic man named Christ who came and is fighting a ruthless enemy, and he's looking for men to assist him in that work. But that message is not getting through. I think most men, when they think of the church, they think of, well, getting my act, cleaning my act up. I'm going to have to stop drinking, stop cussing, stop running around with women and stuff. They only focus on that, on those sorts of issues, and they don't realize that God is calling them to a much bigger, much more dangerous mission.
Okay. And you know, David, we're about to conclude our show for the day, so I do want to give our listening audience an opportunity to connect with your ministry, specifically how to get a hold of your books, the different books that you've written, and just some more information about how we can kind of tackle this issue and get men back in church.
Yeah, well, I would highly recommend that you go by my website, churchformen.com. You can get books. There's a lot of free materials there. You can kind of look through the blog and some other comments people have made and stories of churches that have turned things around with men. I've even got a video on my site about a church with a female pastor.
Okay.
She read my book, and she started making changes in her congregation and is now full of men. Her church is growing, and she's got one of the youngest churches in her denomination.
Wow.
So, you know, this sort of stuff works. It's not about pandering to the men. It's about kind of sweeping away a lot of the feminine things that we have placed in the church, the creation of humans. And when we get back to the gospel as it was revealed to us, there are very rich masculine strains in there. We need to reclaim those and start preaching and presenting those and modeling those in our churches, and we will see men come back.
Okay, great, great. And I know that you're one of the comments you made on your book, you were saying you gave like 10 reasons why men stay away from church, and the number one reason?
Oh, come on, you're making me. I don't have the book.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. I mean, I was going to say, I think everybody knows this because I've only heard. Yeah, the too many hypocrites. Oh, there you go. You know. No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do that to you, but I was looking at the whole list. I just think because you even say drum roll, you know, we don't have a drum roll here, but we, you know, there are too many hypocrites. And I think if men start seeing other men and just people in general, you know, living what they preach, that's attractive.
Well, you know, and that's a huge issue. And, you know, it's not something we can all say we need to have fewer hypocrites in the church. But, you know, but I think a lot of things that men tend to be more cynical. They take a more, I think women are, it's easier for women to take things on faith sometimes.
Sure.
So it is very important. The character of the man who leads the church is very, very important. The character of the men within the church is very, very important. I mean, we saw this in the Catholic Church. We had men who lacked character leading the church and caused great suffering.
That's true.
We just need to be very careful in our seminaries and our screening processes. You know, hey, just because that brother's got a great voice and, you know, he can preach the paint off the walls, if he hasn't got the character, we don't need him up there.
All right, great. Well, once again, I believe the website is churchformen.com. David Morrow, we thank you so much for being our special guest today. I believe many, many were touched. And I believe we're going to start a new movement where men are going to start coming back to church. It's happening already. The Holy Spirit is moving. We thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we thank you for listening. We want you to stay in contact with us throughout the week. So all you have to do is go to our Facebook page and become our friend. We want to say thank you to our producer, Ron, in Charlotte, and, of course, our producer, Larry, here in Philadelphia. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.